Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, and we'll read through verse 39. Are you ready? New International Version. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead. Let's all say verse 24. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did he see his body decay. Pardon me, verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you did this morning and now what you'll do tonight. And all those that are candidates for baptism, God, thank you. Thank you for your grace and for your goodness and for your power and for your word that you stand over to see performed. Thank you for loosing miracles. Even as I preach, let your power be manifested to all those online. Let your name be glorified, oh God. Come on, put your hand on your own heart and pray for yourself. Speak to us, God. Come on, ask God to speak to you. Speak to us in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. Amen. You may be seated. We do have notes, and I see that they've been passed out. When I was away from the Lord, short season, about eight to 10 months, I'd gotten born again. I had a word from the Lord that he was going to do this great miracle. The miracle did not happen in my timing, and I got so deeply disappointed that I turned from God, screamed expletives at him, which I suggest you don't do. It's a bad idea. And I said, I'll never serve you. And I went headlong into the world for about 8 months when I first was born again, long, long time ago. And I wound up at a Gold's Gym as a gym sale. We sell memberships at a Gold's Gym, and I was a personal trainer. And while I was there, and I've told this story, I almost tell it every Easter. While I was there, as a part of a staff, we had a staff meeting as we did every week. And it was right around Easter time, and I got mail from my mother at the gym. My mother, who's online tonight, would faithfully send me Easter cards and birthday cards. Thank God for godly mothers. She prayed me in. And I remember her handwriting is very unique. She has the most beautiful handwriting I've ever seen. It's art. And as I'm sitting there, I'm handed my mail that was sent to the office, and I'm opening it. I open the mail, and I pull it out, and it's a card. And as I read the inside of the card, it says, "He lives." That's all it said. It didn't say, "Love, Mom." It didn't say anything except "He lives" in her beautiful handwriting. And when I read it in my heart, the power of God hit me right there at a Gold's Gym in Port Jefferson, New York. And I think I must have made a jerk or something, because the owner said, "Hey, Bracken." And I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "What do you got there?" I said, "It's an Easter card." He goes, "Oh, well, what's it say?" So I look at it again, and at this time, I've got tears. I'm being deeply affected. I've turned away from the Lord, and God is touching my heart through an Easter card. And I said, "Well, it says he lives." And when I said he lives, he stepped back. I think he was a good Catholic boy, maybe not a good one. He said, "He lives." And when he said he lives, the staff began to say, "He lives." And it echoed through the whole meeting, "He lives, he lives." And God's presence fell, and everybody was kind of freaked out, like, "He's alive." And it marked me for every Easter I think about it, and most Easters I share that story. All of human history was affected by the resurrection. I preached on it this morning, and you're going to hear another message on the resurrection tonight. All of human history is affected by what happened on this day 2,000 years ago. Peter here is preaching to the crowd. Passover lambs is fascinating to study. When the Passover lambs, one lamb per household, when the Passover lambs were killed, is the time that God's lamb, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, was killed at the time the lambs were killed, the exact same time. He was crucified, he died, was put in a tomb, and heaven began to count. 1, 2, 3, and he got up. He rose again from the grave. I forget who sent me the joke. I heard it today. It was just awesome. Joseph of Arimathea gave away his tomb. And his family was criticizing him and saying, How can you give away the tomb? You gave away your tomb, Joseph. It's the tomb. What are you doing, Joseph? He said, "It's okay. It's only for the weekend." Easter Sunday, he rose again. Come on, somebody say, "He lives." Yeah. Come on, tell your neighbor, "He lives." Yeah. I love that. That's just so great. And he ascended. He ascended. Well, he appeared for 40 days to disciples. He ascended and he commanded the disciples to stay in Jerusalem and there endued with his power. And 50 days from Easter is Pentecost. And he's preaching on Pentecost. Peter, who ran away from a fire because of a little girl, comes out with a boldness until, correction from this morning, 3,000 people got saved. I think I said 5 by accident. This morning's 3,000 people got saved. And let's look at this text here, this passage of Peter's preaching. He explains what's happening. In the beginning part, we didn't read it. The earlier verses of Acts 2, he's quoting Joel 2. This is that. They are not drunk as you would suppose. This is that which is spoken about the prophet Joel. We're in a Joel-type period now. There is tremendous problems with our food chain. I don't know if you're paying attention, but they're trying to get rid of cows and meat so you can eat, I don't know, what is it, like some compressed bugs or something? It's crazy that the cows break too much wind, and as a result, we have climate problems. You've got to be seriously deranged to think, my God. So the next thing, you're not going to be able to eat Pastor Kirsten's camp beans because of climate problems. No, seriously, you can't make this stuff up. His camp beans are rather dangerous. He quotes Joel 2. The context of Joel 2 is so powerful. There's a northern invasion about to happen. There's all kinds of economic problems. There's famine. There's challenges. And Joel 2 is, the book of Joel says basically it's time to fast and pray. And Joel 2, it says, and it'll come to pass afterward. After what? After fasting and prayer that God pours out his spirit. There's always a time of grace right before judgment. And that's what he's quoting. He's quoting Joel 2 and he says, this is that. They're not drunk as you would suppose. So something's happening that makes everybody think that they are drunk. They're intoxicated in the spirit. And he goes on to preach, and what we read, the core of his message is the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Verse 34 and 35, this man is handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead. Then he quotes the prophecy of David, Psalm 16, verse 10. And it says, and we're witnesses of this fact. God raised him from the dead, verse 32. And we're all witnesses of the disciples of Jesus were witnesses of the fact that he rose again from the grave. And the result of his preaching is that 3,000 people are born again. As I said, the resurrection of Jesus is Christianity. The resurrection is Christianity. I said it this morning. I'm saying it again. Without the resurrection, our faith is futile, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And the resurrection, death and resurrection, was the core of all apostolic preaching. And I will tell you that it should be the core of all preaching, really. The reason you can be healed, the reason you can be saved, the reason you can be delivered, the reason is because he took hell and death. He took the keys of hell, death, and the grave, and he rose again on the third day. And so we're going to look through the book of Acts quickly tonight before we baptize these that have made a decision for Jesus. Going to look through the preaching in the book of Acts. And you'll see over and over and over and over, Jesus crucified, Jesus rose again. Jesus crucified, Jesus rose again. That is what is mostly preached. Sad to say that that's not always the case today and around the world. Acts 3 and verse 14. The resurrection is the centerpiece of all apostolic preaching. Acts 3 and verse 14. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Same message. Jesus died, Jesus rose again. Acts 4, verse 10. I'm going to take it from verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we've been called to account today for an act of kindness shown to this man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead that this man stands before you healed. There it is again. How did healing come? Crucifixion, resurrection. Acts 5, verse 30. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead. Well, there it is again. Whom you killed by hanging him on a cross, but God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgiveness of sins. Verse 32, we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Obey him. Acts 10 and verse 39. You ready? Guess what do you think it's going to say? Jesus crucified. Jesus rose again from the grave. Here it is. Acts 10, 39. We're witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. Verse 41. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses of whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Wow. It's the same message over and over and over and over again. Acts 13 and verse 29. And when they carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. Verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he was seen by those who traveled with him from Galilee, Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to his people. The resurrection is Christianity. It is an enigma in all of history. And it is undeniable, it is provable, and worthy to surrender your life to him, because he's the author of life, and he gives life to all who believe on him. I think you ought to give God praise right now. It's a historical event. The resurrection is Christianity. It's a historical event. Peter said, we're all witnesses. We all saw it. We were all there. We all know he lives. It's not some theological nicety or a figment of some crazed bunch of Jewish lunatics. It's true. And keep in mind, as I said this morning, Peter's preaching in the same place they basically crucified him. You could walk to the place where he was crucified. You could walk to the place where he was buried. It's not on some far side of the nation where they talk, oh yeah, no, it's all the way over there. They all knew. It all took place very locally. In fact, one of the main things that stood out to Pastor Karen and I when we went to Israel is, it is so small. We could not believe how small it was. You stand there and you see the Valley of Jezreel, and you just see all these things you read in Scripture, and you're looking at it. It's like amazing. So Peter's preaching the same place it happened. Peter denied Christ, but now he's putting his life on the line by preaching that Jesus is the risen Lord. But it was so impactful for him. He not only saw the risen Lord, now he's filled with the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has now filled Peter, and he's got resurrection power, something greater than death, greater than anything the world has to offer, greater than anything in all the universe. He has the power of the Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters at the beginning of time, lives on the inside of him, so of course he's going to be bold. I've seen people filled with the Spirit that got so radically transformed. The other disciples moved from hiding to preaching. I mean, that's kind of amazing. Move from hiding out and being terrified to preaching and putting their lives on the line. Boldly preaching. I've shared this before. When you look at the lives of the apostles and what happened to them, boys, they saw something, because nobody would go through what they went through to carry this message to the world. Let me just tell you, Peter and Paul are both martyred in Rome about 66 AD during the persecution under Emperor Nero. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified, but he would not be normally crucified. He said, no, I don't want to be crucified like everybody else. And he got crucified upside down. He said, I will not be crucified like the Lord. You hang me upside down. And they put him upside down and crucified him upside down. Who would do that? Somebody who got filled with the same spirit. He didn't feel worthy to die. It's the same manner as the Lord. So they crucified him upside down. Andrew went to what's called the land of the man-eaters, which was now what was now Russia. And Christians there claiming to first bring the gospel to their land, also Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey and Greece. And they said he was also crucified. Thomas, remember doubting Thomas? Well, he had a shift, became believing Thomas. He was believing Thomas, let us go with you that we may die in the raising of Lazarus. But he got wounded faith because he didn't see Jesus as the ruling king driving out all of Rome. And so he got wounded. I've been in that place of wounded faith. And he said, unless I stick my hand in his side, I won't believe. Well, Jesus showed up, had some fish pass through the wall. It's crazy. He said, go ahead. And well, Thomas goes to east of Syria. Tradition has him preaching as far east as India. Christians revere him as their founder. They claim that he died there when he's pierced through with spears from four soldiers. Philip. They believe he had a ministry in Carthage in North Africa and then in Asia Minor, where he converted the wife of Roman proconsul. In retaliation, the proconsul had Philip arrested and cruelly put to death. Matthew, the tax collector, the writer, the gospel, ministered in Persia and Ethiopia. Look, we get on airplanes and go to places. This is not what they did. They had to walk. They had to take a beast of burden. They had to. It's a lot of sacrifice to get to these places. It was their whole life. They've been so impacted that they couldn't help but carry the message to where the Holy Spirit would lead them. Some of the oldest reports say that he was not martyred, while others say he was stabbed to death in Ethiopia. Bartholomew had widespread missionary travels. India. Various accounts have him put to death as a martyr for the gospel. James, son of Alphaeus, one of the least of the three James referred into in the New Testament. There's some confusion of which is which, but this James is reckoned to have ministered in Syria. The Jewish historian Josephus reports that he was stoned and then clubbed to death. It's not enough just to stone him. They had to club him to death. How many of you know he's probably dead after the stoning? Then they give him repeated. They're so angry, so driven by demonic power. Simon the Zealot, as the story goes, ministered in Persia, was killed for refusing to sacrifice to the sun god. Matthias was an apostle chosen to replace Judas. Tradition has him in Syria also with Andrew. And death by burning. They were burned alive. John is the only one generally thought to have died a natural death of old age. He was a leader of the church in the Ephesus area. In fact, the churches of the book of Revelation he writes to is like the bishop over them. Persecuted, boiled in oil, sent to the island of Patmos. What changed them? I mean, what changed them? I mean, you have to ask yourself, where is that kind of Christianity today? Where is the kind of transformation and salvation and breakthrough that brings somebody to give everything they have? Oh, I don't want to tithe. 10% is too much. No, but believe me, how about give your whole life? No, I mean, come on, take a look at what we commonly see today as someone who says that they're living for God and what that is. They knew what Jesus was saying was true, and they knew what Peter was saying was true. The empty tomb, resurrection, the gospel is true. Come on, somebody say the gospel is true. Now the resurrection affects us today. Well, Hopefully it affects us like that. The closer I get to the Lord and I'm beginning to grow up in Him, the closer I get to Him, the more I realize that everything belongs to Him. And He's been so kind to me. He's been so kind to us as a church. Without the resurrection, there's no forgiveness. Without the crucifixion, there's no forgiveness. Without the resurrection, there's no forgiveness. See, our problem is a sin problem. God doesn't forgive you just because you asked. Please hear me. He doesn't forgive you because you came to church today, and I'm glad you did. He doesn't forgive you based upon your desire to be forgiven. That is not why God can forgive you. God is a God of justice, righteousness, and truth at the foundations of His throne. He forgives you. He forgives me on the basis of justice. What are you talking about? Exactly, justice. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Justice. You deserve death, so do I. And the Lord's, how do I fix this? I'm going to send my only son to die in your place, a substitutionary death. He became the propitiation for your sin and mine. When we believe on the Lord Jesus, supernaturally by faith, there is a transference of your sin supernaturally to the crucified, resurrected body of the Lord. And your sin is forgiven based on faith that Jesus died in your place. That is not, somebody said, I prayed that sinner's prayer. Pastor Daniel, I prayed that sinner's prayer so many times. Nothing happened. I know why that is. It's because you didn't really repent. When you really repent, not like crocodile tears. You know what crocodile tears are? You're just like, sorry. But not a deep sorrow. Not an awareness that you actually crucified Jesus. When you have that awareness, and you get in touch with that, it puts in you His Spirit and a deep gratitude. It's not a 1 + 1 = 2, right? I got that right, right? It's not a special, you know, magic prayer that then you're born again. We put the sinner's prayer together based upon Scripture. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does calling on the Lord mean? It basically means to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He died in your place. True repentance, when true repentance takes place, a life is radically transformed. Heaven becomes our home. Second Corinthians 4 and 14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to Himself. But it's not just heaven or home. And I said that this morning because I hear preaching of the gospel that it's a half a gospel. Because if you're just supposed to make heaven your home, then you would drop dead, as I said this morning, and I've said it many times before. It's not just about heaven being your home. It's about life and life abundant. It's about fulfilling the mandate that's upon your life. Come on, check yourself and see if you have a pulse. Go ahead, check. If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. God has a purpose for you, and it's not just to suffer and die. Yes, there's suffering, but even out of that, God will turn it for good. And there's a purpose for us being alive so that we can demonstrate His love, so we can demonstrate His power, so we can be witnesses of His resurrection. You said, are you a witness of His resurrection? Oh, yes. Yes, I am. I am. I've been changed. I've been redeemed. I'm not the old guy. I've been made new. My sin does not remain any longer. It's as far as the east is from the west. I'm a brand new creation in Christ. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. You don't have to stay in a broken place of religiosity thinking, oh, what am I going to do? Who's going to set me free? Jesus has set you free already. As it stands recorded. The prison doors are open. You need to just get up and receive it. Can you say amen? You're one prayer away from deliverance. One prayer away from tremendous breakthrough and healing. And we can be filled with the Spirit right back in your notes. This passage we read, Peter says you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Romans 7 and 6. We serve in the new way of the Spirit, Romans 7, verse 6. Wow. We can be filled with the Spirit. Somebody said, what is different about Kings? It's just different. I don't know what it is. I do believe it's the Holy Spirit. There's a liberty, there's a freedom. And I thank God for the body of Christ, and God is doing something miraculous across the state. And he's doing some miraculous across the nation. There are fires of revival and outpourings of the Spirit that are happening in small groups, large groups, medium-sized groups, happening in mega churches, churches down gravel roads. God is pouring out his Spirit on all people. God is pouring out his Spirit in the Village. God's pouring out his Spirit in Point Hope. He's pouring out his Spirit all across Alaska and the nations of the world. He's looking for someone to pour through. He's looking for someone who will trust in, lean on, and rely on him, and the power of God to put on display. How's your back? So here's the thing about that. The Holy Spirit quickened me to pray for this precious lady, gave me a word of knowledge. That's where God gives you knowledge. About someone's back being healed, had surgery, so on and so forth. She responded in faith. We prayed. How many of you know that if you don't respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you won't see a display of the proof of his resurrection? Signs and wonders follow them that believe. Are there any believers here? Then signs and wonders follow, but I've found also there's nothing going to follow something that's not going. We can be healed, right in the notes, and delivered from demon power. If you have demon power resting upon you, if you are tormented, if you hear voices, you're pressed down in the night into your bed, you're choked, you have night terrors, you feel a darkness, a foreboding darkness over your life, it's not God. And you can be set free tonight. Even now, you can be delivered from addiction. You can be delivered from alcoholism. You can be delivered from drug abuse. You can be delivered from pornography. You can be delivered from every bondage, every curse, and every chain. You don't have to be bound. It is not God's will for you to be depressed. It's not God's will for you to be filled with anxiety and fear. It is God's will for you to have peace. It is God's will for you to have joy like a fountain. It's God's will for you to be healed and to be made whole. Well, I prayed for my aunt and she never got healed. How do you know? If she was born again, she got healed. If she went to heaven, if she's passed. Come on, healing is always the will of God. We don't understand timing so much. It's a whole group of people that think the fullness of the kingdom has come now, the kingdom now theology. We don't believe that. We believe it's now and not yet. That yes, his kingdom is here, but the fullness of it is coming. And I've found in my own life in recent weeks that many times I'll back off of pressing in for the miracle because I have a not yet. Well, it didn't happen within the first 15 times I contended for it, so must be a not yet. Maybe you need to contend for it another 21 times. Maybe you need to fast and pray and break through. You see, the enemy knows that if he gets that particular person set free, or if that particular thing is loosed, or that breakthrough happens, he knows, the enemy knows, I believe, that what could take place through somebody who's delivered. So many times there'll be a holdup or a blockage, and we can attribute it to the not yet, oh God. When he's like, no, keep pressing. Am I communicating? Are we communicating here? You can be healed and delivered from demon power even tonight. Hebrews 2, verse 14. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. I remember singing a song years ago. Pastor Kirsten, Pastor Kimmy probably remember it. Maybe we could learn it. It's kind of 2009, it's not 90s, but I love it. No more bondage, no more bondage. Now I'm free from the enemy, 'cause who the Son sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. Don't have to be sick no more. Don't have to be bound no more. Don't have to be no more by the enemy, 'cause who the Son sets free is free indeed. No more bondage, just glorious liberty. You don't have to be bound anymore. We used to just be like, no more bondage, no more bondage. Hey. Come on, Pastor Vince. I remember seeing you shouting all over the place during that. You can be freed. Romans 6:4. We were therefore buried with him. We're what with him? Buried with him through baptism. That's what's about to happen. Now, you went through a class, so you're getting baptized. This is a picture of your death and resurrection. If you've given your life to Jesus, you've been buried with him. Wow. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Romans 8, oh, that's so good. And if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies, because his My God, I just preached myself happy. The same Spirit lives on the inside of you. You don't have to walk around like you're a corpse. The bride of Frankenstein, for God's sake. Put a smile on yourself and quit looking like you're sucking on lemons. God be for you. Who can be against you? Ah! Hey! My God, that's good. We'll have a new body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You even get a new body in the end. Because he lives, worship team, we can live holy. I said, because he lives, we can live holy. You still have to choose it. You live holy, a life that pleases God. Colossians 6 and I believe it's verse 1. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Come on, listen to the language here. If you've given your life to Jesus, truly repented, then all of your sin is gone and then you're still here. The Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. So oftentimes in the Western church, people have no idea who they really are, and they just sort of white knuckle it through their bondages and try to make it. Oh, hope I can make it. Hope you can make it. Stand up and rebuke that thing and move into a new life of freedom and power. He said, is it that easy? Yes, it is. It is. It's a new mind. It's a mindset. It's a different way of thinking. In fact, he goes on to talk about that. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Many of you don't walk in power because you got your head in the ditch. You got your thinking in the ditch. And a ditch is just a grave with the ends kicked out. So really you live in a grave. Get up. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, get up. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind. Set your what? Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. The moment you embrace Jesus, you get a new life. Truly, truly, you get a new life. That's what baptism is all about. The power of the Spirit. He lives. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, He lives. That song, because He lives, you can face tomorrow. Because He lives, you can walk free tonight.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.